Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Liz Stefanini. At Harvest, we have a lot of groups where people meet regularly to encourage each other, look at the Word of God together, pray and do life together. In today's message, Senior Pastor Jerry Barber looks into God's Word to show us the importance of biblical community for our spiritual progress. Let's grow together.
Here at Harvest, we've been going through the book of Genesis, teaching and preaching through it from start to finish. And we're up to chapter 37, which begins the life of Joseph. However, today and for a few weeks, we're going to take a temporary break from that series and then, Lord willing, dive back in a few weeks so we can cover some time sensitive things. Years ago, there was a man named Bud Wilkinson who was the head football coach of Oklahoma University and also a leader in the president's physical fitness program. Somebody asked him what contribution that professional sport made to the physical fitness of Americans. Not surprisingly, he said very little. A professional football game is a happening where 50,000 spectators desperately needing exercise sit in the stands watching 22 men on the field desperately needing rest. Unfortunately, that is often true of the Church of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of spectators, but not as many participants. Before COVID, all across our country, multitudes would flock to churches to watch and hear the professionals perform and then would go on their way, some or maybe many, never to incorporate what they heard into their lives or to actually do any ministry or work for the Lord themselves. We're committed to a different approach at Harvest, and I'm so thankful for the people of Harvest. If you're a part of Harvest, thank you for the way that you are committed to being involved and to participating and serving and using your gifts. And this is to challenge you and strengthen you, and for those who aren't on board with that yet, if there are any of those, for you to dive in and hear from God. Well, let's think about, before we look at our passage today, which our passage, by the way, is Ephesians 4:11-16. Let's think about what we're trying to accomplish. What is our vision? What are we trying to do at Harvest? Our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. We want to develop people into followers of Jesus Christ with a passion to worship God well. That's what a disciple is, somebody following God well. And they have a desire to communicate His love to others. They make disciples. So that's the vision. We develop you as a disciple, and then you develop others as disciples. What do we do to accomplish that? How do we do it? There are three steps. That involves at least three things. One is live. That's where we guide people to new life in Christ. We start with people who aren't believers in Jesus, and we help them come to life. We can't give them life. God has to do that. But we can guide them towards that life, and then they live. After they live, then they grow. And this is where we equip people to grow together in Christ. That word together is going to become very important and prominent in our message today. And then go. We empower people to go for Christ. Now, we try to constantly stress all three of these. In the last year, we had a lot of stress on live. And in the next year, we plan to have a lot of stress on grow, while we still talk about the other two as well. So in light of that, let's turn our attention to Ephesians 4:11-16. And let me set the context for you. At the end of Ephesians 3, there was this prayer for spiritual maturity. Now, as we come to chapter 4, we learn more about how people mature spiritually. It's not in isolation, but it is in the context of a functioning body of Christ. Now, the first few verses of Ephesians 4 talk about the unity and diversity in the body of Christ. And now let's pick up in verse 11. So, Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, at salvation, every Christian is given at least one spiritual gift. But those gifts aren't given just individually so you can understand your gift and be blessed and benefited by yourself. Rather, in the New Testament, spiritual gifts are always presented not in an individual context, but in the context of a body that functions together. In order for the church to be the church, we must all play the part which God designed for us. At Harvest, we want to obey the command of our Lord to make disciples that obey all of His teaching. How can we make disciples and help people grow? Now, some discipleship formats look at Christ and how He discipled people one-on-one, and they stress that. And there's nothing wrong with that. We use that some, but there are limitations. Nobody is capable of fully making a disciple in the way that Jesus did. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. He had all wisdom. He had all the gifts. He had enough time to literally live and walk with people for years. No one of us has all that. So what do? Do we give up? No, we don't give up. We move from what Bill Hull calls a Christ-centered model to a church-centered model. Discipleship gets centered in the church body. Discipleship must happen in the church. And it happens best in the context of small groups of people that are committed to the Lord and to each other. So here is God's word for us from Ephesians 4. To grow disciples, pastors must equip and members must minister. Well, there are two essential ingredients for spiritual growth in this passage that I want to point us to. And the first one is this, that pastor teachers must equip Christians to do ministry. Let's look again at verse 11. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. The exalted Christ gives to the body not only grace, as we learned earlier in the chapter, but He gives people. And the focus in these verses is on leadership ministry. There were the apostles. Those were the 12 who founded the church. There were the prophets. They proclaimed God's message. There were evangelists. They did pioneer evangelism and founded churches. And then there are pastors and teachers. This is probably one person stressing two aspects of their ministry, pastoring and teaching. And verse 12 tells us explicitly what pastors or pastor teachers should do to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 12 clarifies the roles and relationship between pastors and believers. The pastor is to equip. And who is it that does the works of service? That's right. It's God's people. His people. See, to equip His people. The pastor equips God's people so that God's people do the works of service. The pastor's not the minister, like some places call them. When people don't mean anything by it or anything wrong by it, I'm sure, but when people call someone like me, oh, here's our minister, that gives the mistaken impression that there's one person that does the ministry and others are just supporting him. Now, pastors indeed do minister, but our ministry is to coach and equip you, the body, to do the work of the ministry. This is God's plan. Now, please hear what I'm about to say correctly, because it could be misunderstood. This ministry of believers. These works of service, biblically, is not just serving in different ways so we can execute and pull off church services. Now, we need people to do that, and we desperately appreciate the people who do that, the sound technicians, the setup teams, the children's workers when we're able to meet again with them, and so many ushers, greeters, so many people help to do those things, and they are valuable. And this is a portion, because in doing that, it allows people to be equipped at one level during the church service. I'm thankful for all of that. But the Apostle Paul, in writing this in Ephesians, would not have been thinking about that type of ministry, but he would have been thinking about in-person relational ministry with other people. And that's not just for the trained pastors, elders, and staff. Look again at verse 12 and notice who does the works of service. That's right. It is his people. Now, that word equip is an interesting word. It means to put right or to prepare. In the secular Greek of the time outside of the New Testament, it was used for setting a broken bone. One other time it was used a few times, but one time in particular in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 4, it's used of some of the early disciples, James and John, who were fishermen. It says they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. There's the word. It's preparing. They were getting their nets ready for action. And similarly, pastors prepare Christians for action. They don't just teach them or care for them or entertain them. They prepare them for action. And if we look back at verse 12, at the end of it, we'll see what happens when we do it God's way, so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's when the body of Christ is really built up. It's not just when pastors preach sermons, but it's when pastors share the word and equip people in various ways. And then those people do the works of service, and then the body gets built up. It's teamwork. It's togetherness. We grow together. I've seen a lot of different models in different places regarding the relationship between pastors and church bodies. In some churches, they are completely dependent on the minister as if he's the only one to do ministry, and the lay people just pray for him and pay his salary. Then on the other hand, I've seen it completely, I would call that completely dependent. I've seen a completely independent where the lay leadership leads and controls everything, and the pastor is like a hireling. They bring him in to do some specialized things. But the biblical model is an interdependence. You have respected pastors who serve the members, feed the flock, preach the word, teach sound doctrine, and lead the church and equip the body so that the true ministers, the body, do ministry. I think that is God's plan. In fact, I know from God's word that that is God's plan. Like a coach, the biblical pastor prepares his team. Now, the next few verses 13 to 15, give us some goals of discipleship. So what does this mean for the body of Christ to be built up? What are we working toward? What are we aiming for? Well, one is unity of the faith and knowing Christ, verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. These verses describe the ongoing process of reaching maturity and tell us how long the task will last. It's until we all reach spiritual maturity. In other words, that's going to be throughout life. And that maturity is elaborated on in various ways. There is unity in the faith. Unity was given to the church already, we saw earlier in Ephesians 4, but now it must be maintained and it must be attained. Do you want to find out how mature a church is? I think the diagnostic would not be asking them how many Bible studies they've attended or even getting them a written Bible exam, but how united are they? How united are they? That's a great diagnostic, because that's what God says is a part of the process of maturity, is coming to unity and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We know Christ at salvation, but we still must attain by experience real knowledge of Him. And just like a bride and groom know each other at one level on their wedding day, but if you attend their 50th wedding anniversary, they're going to know each other a lot better because life experience and their experience together. So that's one thing. It's unity of faith and knowing Christ. And then there's completeness. Verse 13 continues, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In 3:17 of Ephesians, Paul prayed that Christ would dwell in their hearts. In 3:19, there was the prayer that they would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now here, the goal of spiritual maturity is attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And we would be complete in that way. And then verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Become mature in the previous verse reads literally a perfect man. So notice the contrast. You've got one man, one perfect man versus many infants, the singular versus the plural. Individualism is a sign of childishness. Unity is a sign of maturity. So the fundamental concern for truth is the secret of maturity in the church. This is why we need the Word of God. This is why at Harvest we certainly give life application in sermons. But it always arises from the text. It always arises from the Bible. We don't just design topics and just find some Bible verses that support that. We let the Bible do our teaching for us. A lot of preaching, unfortunately, today is not very biblical. It may be good or inspiring, but we want it to be biblical at its core. So here's the next part of this. It is the life and character of Christ. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. I'll comment a few minutes on speaking the truth in love. But notice what this ultimate aim is, this ultimate goal. It's to have Christ's life and character in us, in our body. Now, our church body can have this maturity, but it will require something. It's not just individual spiritual growth. It will require something. How can this happen? How can this happen at Harvest? And that's the second ingredient. The first ingredient for spiritual growth is that pastors and teachers have to equip Christians to do ministry. That's my job, that to equip you to do ministry. But the other ingredient is that every believer must participate in ministry to others. Every believer. These aren't my words. These are God's words. Look at verse 16. From Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Ligaments provide connections between the various parts, and they mediate life and power throughout the body. That's true physically. It's true spiritually in the body of Christ. Will you notice the last six words of verse 16 there? As each part does its work. This only happens when all the parts of the body are functioning. Now, in our society, worth is often judged in terms of how much someone is willing to pay for your services. For instance, an airline pilot, someone's willing to pay more for their services than they are for those that load the luggage on that plane. But those people have the same worth as individuals. God values every individual for who they are. He assigns to every Christian a part, a role, a ministry, not just as a member of a team. Now, a team is a good metaphor about people working together, but a team is a lot of different individuals who are different from each other that work together. A body is not just, there's not only differences, but there's true unity because it's one body. There is an essential unity while there is diversity of different roles and functions. Every part receives the energizing power it needs to do its part and help. And in turn, it helps energize others. That's unity and diversity. Pastors and people working together. The pastors equipping, the believers doing the work of ministry. I can teach you the word, but I cannot encourage every one of you daily. Hebrews commands believers to do that. I can provide leadership, but not the bulk of the financial support of the ministry. Some teach, others encourage. Some lead, others show hospitality. Some give, others serve in practical ways. Paul the Apostle talked about this. 1 Corinthians 12:21. He said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Verse 27, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. What a great passage. Now, again, think of the cells in the human body. If they work in cooperation with the body, it is strengthened. But if one cell, just one cell, shares the benefits of being in the body but maintains complete independence, it becomes a parasite or a cancer cell. For Harvest to be a healthy church, every one of us needs to be doing our part. Think about your own body. If I were to say, what's a member of your body that you're glad you have? And it may depend on how healthy you are, because usually we take for granted our health until, you know, we hurt our ankle or have heart problems or something with our kidneys. I mean, it's all different kind of body parts. Think about your inner ear. There's a passageway. There are three bones and a little cavity. But if it malfunctions, watch out. You couldn't stand or walk. You'd have vertigo. So when I mentioned the part of your body you were thankful for, I'm sure there were some good and necessary ones that came to your mind. But did anybody think of neck? When was the last time you felt really good about your neck and you were thankful for your neck? Well, your neck holds your head on. Did your mother ever say, like mine, you'd lose your head if it wasn't tied on? It allows blood to get to your brain, maybe some people more than others. It gets food to your stomach. It allows air to circulate to your lungs. It contains our major source of communication, our vocal cords. The point is that the body of Christ has all sort of inner ears and or inner ear bones and necks, members that go unnoticed, but which are utterly essential. Now, as we think about this passage, I want you to just notice a few things. Notice the prominence of Christ. Even though there's a strong emphasis in this passage on members of the body performing their roles, Paul always keeps the ultimate objective out there in front of us, that we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. There's only one God and only one head. It's ultimately about Christ. It's not about us. Look at there in the orange. Look at all of the times Christ is mentioned. Verse 11, Christ Himself. 12, the body of Christ. 13, the Son of God. 14, the fullness of Christ, or there in 13. And then 15, the head, that is Christ. Christ is prominent. It's Christ alone. So I could picture it this way. You've got Christ, you've got pastors, and you have the body. And so Christ gives pastors as a gift to the body. And what do pastors do? They then equip the body. Why? So that the body can serve. That's the process here. Christ gives pastors who equip the body, and the body members serve. So there's the prominence of Christ. There's also the prominence of the body. Again, look at how many times, body of Christ, verse 12, verse 15, verse 16, the whole body. And notice also the prominence of love. Two times love appears in these verses. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. And in verse 16, this body is building itself up in love. We have all the right structures. We have all the right gifts. We have all the right. But if we don't have love, we're missing it. And we speak the truth in love. This is how we minister to each other. This is how we grow. I don't know if you have a good auto mechanic. I do. And that is so important for me, somebody who doesn't know much about cars. But I have a guy that ever since we moved to Charlotte to start Harvest years ago has been servicing our cars. He's a great guy. I totally trust him. I never worry that he's going to do a repair that's not necessary. And he's a good mechanic. And he'll tell you what needs to be done. But it's hard for me to imagine that. I go to him one time. I take my car. I'm hearing this noise. And he looks at it and goes, oh, it's okay. It's just that it just happens sometimes. Go ahead. And I get in the car and I go down. Get on the highway, and all of a sudden my car breaks down and I have a nearly causing an accident. I go back to him and I say, hey, why did you tell me everything was okay? And he's well, I knew it was worse. I just didn't want you to be angry with me. That's not what I want. I want him to speak the truth in love to me. When I come to him, I want him to say, here is what is wrong with your car. I want him to speak the truth. Now, as people, sometimes we don't want to hurt people's feelings or this or that and the other, and we're afraid. We don't want to get involved. But Ralph West says that truth without love is brutality, but love without truth is hypocrisy. So being like Christ requires that we speak the truth in love to each other. We need people to say things to us that we need to hear that might not be easy to hear. And that only happens when every ligament, every believer does their part to build each other in love. And when those things happen, as we respond to Christ, more and more of his life is formed in us and his character is formed in us. But think about it. What does that require? Do you expect that to happen? You walk in on Sunday and you see somebody and you only see them on Sunday and you say hi. Do you expect it to happen in that environment? No. These close relationships cannot be developed on Sunday morning at a gathering of the church. Now, the gathering of the church on Sunday morning is very, very valuable. And a lot happens there. But these kind of relationships, these growing relationships where the ligaments are doing their part and everybody's doing their part and we're loving each other and we're speaking the truth in love and we're helping each other and we're serving each other. That's what happens in the other 167 hours of the week that we're not in a church gathering. And that's where life and growth, that's where the rubber meets the road. Notice the glory and beauty of the whole process that we're talking about here. I go back to that verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, look what happens. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. Wow, what an awesome thing that we can grow and we can become mature together and we're growing into Christ, our head. It happens, but not just accidentally. To grow disciples, pastors must equip and ministers I'm sorry. Well, that was a Freudian slip. That was right. Members must minister. Because members of the body of Christ are the true ministers. So pastors must equip and members must minister. Now, ask yourself, as we think about how to apply this, am I truly in this body of Christ? Not am I a church member, a good person, am I just interested spiritually, but am I truly a member? Those to whom Paul wrote first were in the body because they were in Christ, he said in the very beginning of Ephesians. They were Christians. They believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. How about you? Have you received Christ as your Savior and Lord? If not, and you need information on how to do that, please let us know. We want to help you with that. So how does, let me just, if you're already there, if you're a Christian, you're part of this body at Harvest, part of the larger body of Christ, what are some ways that we might be able to make this happen, to put it into practice? Well, one is groups. We really, really want you to be a part of a regular group of people that meet and love each other and know each other. Relationships. Those often happen through those groups. It is possible to be in a group and only just show up at the group and then leave as soon as the group is over and not really develop deep, authentic, caring relationships. And we want to see those develop. And there's a bridge in between those two. And this is for everybody. And it's intentionality. It takes intentionality. You know, they say you get out of something what you put into it. That is so true of our Christian experience. We get out of spiritually what we put into the life of the church. And we want to encourage you to, if you're a part of our body, to find, participate in, and value the ministry that God has given you. Don't compare yourself with others. Don't long for somebody else's role. Don't think of yourself as more important if your role gets more exposure or less important if it functions behind the scenes. Serve God by serving the body. Make a difference in the life of Christians. Please don't just come in and receive from this body. Give back, and that will make us a healthy body. I read this week about a tree in South Africa. We've got a few South Africans in our congregation. I wonder if they've been to a place called the Echo Caves. This tree, the growth of this tree depends on its root system. It goes down into the ground, get this, 400 feet into the water. That's right. 400 feet. The root system is 400 feet. The tree survives by osmosis. Its cells are just drinking in the water. They're pulling it up. And some cells are healthier than others. There are some cells that are all over the place, taking life, draining life. But there are healthy cells that are always pulling up life. And those healthy cells are not selfish ones. When a healthy cell sees a cell struggling, the healthy cell attaches itself to the weak cell so that it can become a healthy cell. They start drawing up life together. Yes, God's word is true, to grow disciples. Pastors must equip and members must minister. Rarely do I do this, but my final words for this sermon are actually the title of the sermon and my encouragement to you today. Let's grow together. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that you will help this body to engage with each other. Lord, we know the current climate of the coronavirus makes it harder for us to get together, but help everyone find ways to minister to each other and love each other and serve each other and be involved. And this fall, as we re-energize our groups, we pray that these will be groups of people committed to your purposes, and you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment,
learn more about our ministries, or find out how you can donate to support the podcast.